Hello and welcome to the Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and this week's topic is the Leeds game from last Saturday. Mick McQuillan passed a late fitness test to be able to travel over to the game. Our new recruit Johnny Pearl joined the squad for this game, and I'm also talking to Paul Lindsay, who was there, and Gary Cotter. So I hope you enjoy it. Mick, how are you? We have Johnny joining us here now.
Can you hear me there, lads?
Johnny, I can hear you, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Mick. I can hear you, yeah, perfectly.
Great stuff. Yeah.
All right, Tony, now.
I can hear you. Yeah, Mick, that sounds good. You're looking at two Michael McQuillans at the moment, Paul, so I apologise.
That's all right. One's enough.
Thanks really fucking much.
Well, that's a good buttocks. Start, anyway.
You got your sciatica sorted out yet?
I tell you what, fair play to you, Paul. I got one of them up in Argos today, and you know what? I tell you, it can be better released than a new browser. I tell you that.
Is that a new bra, Mick, or a new browser?
Oh, Jesus. I used it today on my blade on the old legs. Oh, she made a big difference all right for a while, you know?
Oh, definitely, that'll help.
Yeah. Oh, I suffered after, Paul, honestly, Jesus, after I left you there, up and down bloody stairs and everything, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, we covered the whole Manchester airport, so we did.
So
that's right, Johnny.
So Mick, you don't recommend sleeping on a boat as cure for sciatica, no?
Well, I don't, that wasn't the fucking problem, but it was just I'm off the tablets and I got off them too quick, probably, you know.
The way
Dundonger played on Saturday, are you sure he wasn't sleeping beside you in the boat before?
I know you don't fucking start.
I know, Paul, you must have been very disappointed that Silva didn't make an appearance. You know, nobody would have made your day completely.
Well, I'll tell you, he should have.
Him and Ez was playing, we'll chat about it anyway, but as we said on Saturday, too far forward, he's nearly better as a 10. It'd been better bringing the kid on and letting him play deeper because the midfield was getting absolutely annihilated.
Yeah. Just on the day itself, Paul, did you fly over from Dublin or how did you get over?
No, I flew in on Friday in the Leeds Bradford instead with a friend of mine in Silsden, a guy who mechanics in the British Superbike paddock, used to work with us. So I had a nice weekend in North Yorkshire, Silsden, and up around that direction, and just travelled in on Saturday for the match.
Yeah, and Mick, as we know, how was the boat trip?
Oh, it was grand for her. Remember, I was only in the boat about 15 minutes and I was out for the count.
Yeah.
And I got a good spot up on top. Well, I knew where I was heading for. So I was asleep until I heard them announcing we're entering the port of Holyhead. And I just turned around and turned up and I had a dark Vader looking over me. How are you making? Who the fuck is this really? It's Andy. So that was it. It was a good trip. I got the train. The train was ready in the station there. So I was on the train and I bumped into a Cardiff supporter, an elderly Cardiff supporter heading up to Cardiff from Holyhead. He was only going to be able to get there for half time in the match, and it was costing him, I think it was £75 for the train ticket, you know.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, he probably would have been better off missing the whole game.
I was there. I nearly had my hanky out for the pair of chap on the way up. I listened to all his fucking tales of woe, you know.
Yeah. Oh, what was that? Mick got the bullet. What was it? Eight defeats in a row or something?
Yeah. Without doubt, you know. It was coming. I had to.
Yeah. But Johnny, your trip over. You were on the luxury flight to Manchester, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, a bit early of a luxury flight, but I got the flyover to Leeds Bradford Sunday, filled with countless mental Leeds fans. I think I was the only Bulls fan on the flight, so it was grand.
Yeah. It's a bit like the previous week with three of us on a plane load of Villa fans going over to Birmingham. You learn to live with that over the years anyway, Johnny. You'd be grand.
Yeah, no doubt.
So what did you do beforehand? Where did we go for a little drink or two, Mick?
Well, I was in that tap place with the boys, met up with Steo and the lads, and for once it was a decent pub, you know.
Yeah.
And they sell food, but there was a grand pint of cider, you know, because the rest of the stuff was only piss, in my opinion, anyway, you know. but it was good. It was there anyway. I left about 10 to 2 to go and catch the bus up to the ground, you know.
Yeah. All right. Paul, did you go anywhere beforehand or just straight to the ground?
I didn't, but to be honest, we didn't bother because I travelled in and the guy was staying with us, he's a Leeds season ticket holder.
Yeah.
So we ended up just having a little wander around, and I actually went into the club shop with him, and I was like two Nissan Hubs welded together. Compared to Molyneux, we complain sometimes what we have, and as much as the atmosphere in that ground is superb, I mean, it's certainly not Molyneux in the build up to the game.
Yeah.
You know, the inside was impressive for sure with the atmosphere, but outside, certainly not as impressive what we have at home.
Yeah. Johnny, did you meet up anyone
before? I had a bit of time to waste, so I just looked around Leeds for a bit, not that there was much to look at. Yeah, then I just went to a pub and then got a taxi in to the ground with fewer Wolves fans that I kind of met up in the pub. But same with, it's unusually, like, it's dreary outside the ground, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of away from everything as well.
Yeah. Paul, no Jimmy Savile masks or anything in the club shop, no?
Oh dear! I've only just worked out what they were singing back at us, but I'll not sing it on this podcast.
All right, good idea. We better move on to the game then, lads. I'd say you were hardly settled into the singing when we Huang hit the back of the net. Another Jimenez Huang combination. What was the reaction to that?
Oh yeah, it was great. I mean, we're not used to scoring early, so it was, you know, it sort of settled the nerves a bit. And to be fair. You know, Wolves were it inspired the team for 20-25 minutes. We actually all thought it was a second goal coming.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, and it was only the last sort of 10-15 minutes of the first half that Wolves started to retreat a little bit, and then the second half, as we know, was backs against the wall stuff. But no, it was great. It was great being so close to the Leeds fans, and they're so vocal. And the banter was constant through the whole game. So no, it was nice to go one up and give ourselves that cushion.
Yeah, it probably came as a bit of a shock, all right, seeing, so as you said, we're not used to being in a situation so early in the game. But Mick, what was your reaction with the goal and for the rest of the first half?
Yeah, I thought it was a good game overall, the whole game. Hmm. I thought there was a lot of effort put into it. I thought there was a lot of tactics involved in it, and I thought he set us up fairly well for the 9 lead, the space to play into. But we got the cushions as Paul said there, stripping. Once you get that early goal, you know, you don't have to expose yourself trying to get a second one, although you're always trying to pick one out. And that's the way it went. And I give a great credit to Leeds there too. People said that this and that. Leeds are a very, very good side, fairly well organised. And, you know, the way they handled Jimenez up front and the way they handled Traore, it was impressive to me. They're in and around like they're looking light. And as you said, Paul was saying there, we were discussing it, that I thought he should have dropped Jimenez back a bit further and let him run at them. Because what was happening was they were getting in on top of him, and I would have brought the young fella on up front. And, you know, because that would be more to his game up front, and it might have yielded more. But this is things in hindsight. But I do thought overall, I thought we probably deserved to win the game.
Yeah.
For all their carrying on, it was a brilliant save from Sa late in the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that came from I think it was Huang made a terrible save. I was disappointed with him. He scored a goal. But I thought his defensive end of the game was very poor throughout. And I thought Traore's end. But the problem with Traore, you know, there was any number of two or three or four, mentally torn anywhere. They were in on him quick. And I think it was Paul was saying there too, what we should be doing then, knowing it was coming, they should be laying the ball off a bit quicker.
Yeah.
You know? And in fairness, they did a decent job. And unfortunately, I think the whole game torn people that we lay back. I don't think we lay back. I think they threw the kitchen fucking sink at us. Yeah. They were losing.
Yeah,
you know, that was my thinking, you know.
As you're saying there, Mick, I think there was one incident in the first half where Traore was on the halfway line in the centre circle with the ball, and two of them, he lost it. And what I saw, what I was watching, the commentator was saying like that Bruno was losing the head, that Semedo was in acres of space on the right wing, and he didn't give it to him. But that's what you get with Traore, though. He doesn't kind of, he's not alert, he's not aware of what's around him a lot of the time, you know. But Johnny, what was your impression of the first half?
Yeah, I thought Semedo done excellently for the goal. Like I looked it back yesterday, and the way he flipped it over with the left foot was, I know he gave away a penalty in the end, but I thought his contribution for that goal was superb. And then obviously it just kind of fell to Wang. I just would have liked us to just get a bit more control in the middle of the park. I thought it just seemed real scrappy in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
I thought we, the whole game as a unit, we defensively were brilliant. One thing I noticed about Adama, every time he got the ball, Liam Cooper just pressed him straight away. And I thought Cooper had a fantastic game. Like, every time Adama had the ball, he went straight to him, faced him up. Like, there was one stage where he's one-on-one and Cooper just bullied him. And that's so unusual for Adama, you know. I would have liked us to get just a bit more of a foothold. I thought Inori was absolutely brilliant throughout the game. Yeah. Like, he was on Rafinha's side, and Rafinha is one of the best wingers in the Premier League, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he was like he was constantly an out ball, you know. He was constantly on for Cody. So he impressed me a lot.
Yeah. Gary, what was your? Did you get to see the game? Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I got to see it the full game. We was on TV. I had clear view and all that. But there was no. I had no commentary and I had no crowd noise.
Yeah.
The compensation was it was in a pub. and there was as much beer as you wanted type of thing. So, it's funny how, you know, I acknowledge that the being at the game, I mean, that's why we go. Like, we go for the difference between not having an atmosphere and having an atmosphere. Like, that's... Like we witnessed the week before in Villa Park. Yeah. So, it's a totally different thing. But in the circumstances, it made you or made me focus on the football, focus on the quality of it, and focus on the entertainment. And to be honest, I didn't think there wasn't huge entertainment. I thought that we definitely had the better of the first half.
Were you watching a different game to make a game, were you?
Well, like, no, as I say, I think it's different when you're at the place. Yeah. Well, like last week, Mick wasn't at the game and I was. This week, Mick was at the game and I wasn't. Yeah. So, yeah, I probably was watching a different game to Mick. But I thought we definitely had the better of the first half. But I thought that was the time to capitalise because I thought they were lacking in confidence and they were nervous even, you know. And especially after going a goal down. And if we could have capitalised on it, I think could have been over early on. But when he got to the usual Wolves, when it gets to half time and there's only one in it, we're probably going to retreat. And, you know, it's back to the wall job, which it turned out to be. I mean, I genuinely felt half an hour left. Like, there'd be no one else to blame only ourselves if we didn't get the 3 points. And, you know, they brought on that young fella and that did change their attitude a lot, actually. He just went for it. He had no kind of inhibitions and he went for it. And it actually improved them a lot.
Yeah.
And we struggled with it. Like, and he got the penalty in the end. And just being so close to victory, it was, I suppose, disappointing not to get it. But I would have accepted a draw before the game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Leeds are a good side and a great club. And they, you know, I think they're just going through a bad patch. So it's inevitable they're going to beat someone shortly. And I was wondering, was it going to be Saturday, you know? But in the end, I think we should have got the 3 points, but look, we didn't. And as I say, I'd have took a draw before the game.
Yeah. But I think, when you're, as you say, we're so close to it at the end, you always feel kind of that you lost two rather than gaining one. Moving on to the second half, watching the second half myself, I thought for the first maybe 10 or 15 minutes, we could have got that second goal. You know, we had a couple of half chances but it never came up. But like I just thought as the second half wore on, we were just, it was like Nuno, you know, we were going further and further back and we were letting them into the game. They made a couple of changes and we just seemed to be struggling. Like, the only, Saz save was the only time he really had to do anything up until the very end for the penalty. Paul, what was your thoughts on the second half?
Yeah, I mean, I think Moutinho was nearly a one-man show for us in the middle of the park. And I know we joke him a lot, but then Dunker was, being half a yard short against the other teams in the Premier League is all right, but against Leeds, who put you under so much pressure and they're very physical, he was lost most of the second half. Moutinho had run out of steam, and I think after 60 minutes, really, we should have saw Neves earlier. We could have done with Traore changed earlier, and I think we needed to play a little bit narrower.
yeah,
to fill the space in the middle of the park. Whether that was, you know, dropping M&S back a little and bringing Silva on, because the space just opened up. And that the two kids they brought on was at Gellhart and Somerville.
Yeah,
two lads played a blinder. I don't know what they signed that kid for, but we talk about Silva and the money he played. That lad is a little bit special.
Yeah, yeah.
Which fella is that? Which fella?
Gellhart, number 30, the lad that came on.
He's one of their own. He's one of their own. He's one of the academy. He's English. Yeah.
I thought he was signed from Hull or somewhere.
He's one of the academy there. He's a young lad. He's only a fucking kid. He scored a lot of goals. And we was having a good chat with the Leeds lads after.
So, Mick, what was your impression then of the second half as it wore on?
Second half, my thing was, I thought that Traore and Quang was getting us in all sorts of trouble in the second half.
Yeah.
They couldn't hold the ball up. Yeah. Jimenez was on his own trying to hold it up. The ball kept coming back in and the midfield hadn't got a chance. That's why they were denying the space. Like, we had to try and open up to get another one. They'd have fucking won the game. And yeah, we were a goal up at that stage. But I thought that bringing Jimenez back that bit further, he gives you that defensive cover, but he also, what to call it, is good coming from midfield. And yeah, they wouldn't have been kicking the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And I thought that's the way it went. And I thought the whole game swung in the last few minutes, because I thought our defensively we were superb. I thought Mucinho was excellent. Yeah. And when he made that tackle in injury time, and it was a brilliant tackle, but he pulled a muscle or he done some damage there.
Yeah.
And the problem was, we brought on Neves, and there's no way could anyone. We seen Prudence come on earlier.
Yeah.
Prudence couldn't even get to the pitch of the game.
Yeah.
Because it was so intense. It might have looked at on television, but there was so much effort being put in there for both sides, because yeah, it was a physical game. Like, there was kicking going on all over the fucking park. You know yeah, what I mean? And you had to be physically at it. And I thought what happened then, Neves missed him, Gellhart, when he started to run out of the box. And then he wandered in and out. And unfortunately, what happened was, I know he had gone off, and they'd only switched bloody, what to call it,
Semedo,
who was having an excellent game, over yeah, to that side. So that whole side, Wang was gone. The whole left side had been changed in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
And we ended up, and honestly, it wasn't a penalty, but they're given at times. Your man played for them, and, you know, he got it. And once the referee made the decision it was a penalty, VAR was never going to change. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And that's where I see it. And there was one or two instances in the match people would talk about. And Rafinha, I've watched that over and over again, and I have not seen a clear-up view that Soyuz caught him in that tackle. My own opinion is that he went down and he had an injury coming back from Brazil.
Yeah.
And that's where he's gone in there. When he got up off the ground and he hopped around, he went out on the sideline and he was getting attended to the other fucking ankle and that. But I'll be honest with you, I'm delighted the bastard went off, because he's looking at it again. Three fucking times he kicked our fellas behind. Yeah, well, you can cut it what you like, but it's the fact what happened in the fucking game. He kicked out a Jimenez.
Yeah.
And he had another kick a Chang behind. And when he came, we knew fucking well when Soyuz was going in there, one was going to get by, either the man was going to get by a no ball or the ball was going to get a no man.
Yeah.
And the referee, we all seen it, he gave the free and straight away he pointed for a handball.
Yeah.
And then a few seconds later, he came over and booked him for the tackle. And I was livid with that. But look, it was 2 points. We dropped two points there. There's yeah, no doubt. So late yeah, in the game. But you couldn't deny Leeds. They deserve the point there.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
they are a good choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was thinking
of it. That it's a bit like Ferguson used to say, if I can use that word, over the years, that, you know, the things balance out over the season. You get some good. But yes, yeah, I think safe to say, typical Wolves, our season, we balanced it out. We managed to balance it out in a week, because we should have lost against Villa last week and we won. We probably should have got the 3 points yesterday and we drew. So, and Johnny, just your impression of the second half and the nearly win.
Yeah, I thought the Leeds crowd won them a point, to be honest. I thought they were just superb in the second yeah, half. They were just so loud. They drove the team on. I thought, I would completely agree with the lads. We were very comfortable up until Aitnori started cramping, and then yeah, Kiana had to come on the right side. Semedo came over to the left side, and look, it's a soft penalty, but if that was a Wolves player, we'd be screaming for a penalty as well, you know.
Yeah.
I thought Kilman was just a rock again, centre back. I thought Sa was immense again.
Yeah.
Like, just not even a save. There was one stage we were kind of under pressure, and there was a ball kind of on the penalty spot, and he just came for it. Like, Patricio would have never came for that ball. Yeah. He would have stayed on his line and just kind of eased the pressure a bit. I think with Bruno, he's a bit hesitant to make substitutions. Like,
yeah,
again, against Villa, like, he only made a substitution really up until the 78th minute. I would have brought Neves on 60th minute. Yeah. I would have swapped him for Dendonker just to get a bit of more of a foothold. And I probably would have left Adam on. I know Adam wasn't having a great game, but he's just so dangerous on the break. And I would have brought Huang off and put Podence on, or brought Jimenez. We just needed to get a foothold. I thought when we had the free kick, I don't really get why Matinho takes the free kicks. He's never really threatened a goalkeeper. Like, I thought Sai should have absolutely whacked it towards Melier and see what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought the Leeds crowd, and Leeds were desperate for points. Like, they needed a point in that game, or they would have been just not under pressure, but they needed a point, and they deserved it. It's just annoying that we dropped the 2 points. You know, like I was reading there, we would have went fourth, and look at the difference fourth makes compared to tenth, you know.
Yeah, it's funny when you mentioned there about the free kick. Actually, my impression was that it was probably a better angle for Aiton Uri, who's standing there. Yeah. I thought he might have actually had a go at it for the change, because Moutinho's taken a few of those free kicks, and
he just never really threatens a goalkeeper. The only one I kind of remember him nearly was actually Watford in the Wembley semi-final when he nearly put a top corner, but
yeah,
I've never really remembered him threatening a goalkeeper from free kick.
I think we all thought that it was going to be Soyuz that was taking that one. I think it was lovely set up for Soyuz. That would have been, you know, that would have been
taking
on that free kick, you know.
I was looking at a flashback from the Villa game with Jimenez standing where he was, like, that there was going to be, they were going to kind of aim for him and he'd go out of the way or whatever, you know, but it didn't happen. So I suppose in the end of it, we were unhappy that we didn't get a win, half happy we got a point anyway, so that's as good as we can.
So as Gary said there, I think it was a fantastic point, that's the way I look at it, but it should have been three, should have been three, and we certainly, no matter what they say about what way we play, we certainly have the hex on fucking Leeds with the way we seem to be the only one able to handle Leeds.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because we have a good record against them, you know.
Would you not think they're they kind of seem to have lost a bit of steam from the way they played last season?
No, they're out a couple of players, and a bit like ourselves. That young, as Gary was saying, or Tim was saying, that young Gerhard, he's only 18, but he's knocking in the goals for the under 23s.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player. They got that young fella Somerville, and they got him from Holland. And he is a very, very good player. The thing was, I thought when Rafinha went off injured, that Leeds seemed to be a better side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this kind of player, but he doesn't like to do an awful lot of work off the ball.
Yeah.
Those lads did play well. Those two young lads and fair dues. And speaking of the Leeds fans, right, they were saying that the whole bench was nearly young for us. And I said, did you look at our bench?
Yeah.
One thing that was a bit unusual, like, you never really see teams pressing like Cody, pressing right up on them. But Leeds just, it was constant press for 90 minutes. Cody didn't have any space on the ball, and he usually has a bit of time, like, teams kind of drop off, but whenever Cody got the ball, either the left wing, right wing or striker, could press them straight away.
Yeah, I suppose at least we got a point, and we're keeping picking up points anyway, which is important, but just want to move on to our next game against the Bold Everton. I'd have thought it'd be a tricky game, but they seem to be very up and down, and after the result on Saturday, getting thumped at home by Watford, it's hard to know what to expect. What are we looking at on this day week, Paul? What do you think?
I think a win, but he needs us to get us back to this high press and play football. I mean, Conor Cody said today, I think, on the Wolves website, that they'd set themselves up that way to play against Leeds, and that's fair enough. But let's get back to the way we played in the first three or four games, even though we're unlucky. And that's, I think that works better for us against the more talented teams, you know.
Yeah.
I do think if he sets us up that way, we can beat them. Jimenez, Mick and I were chatting the weekend. I don't know where the goals are coming for him. You know, the goal against Southampton was a bit of a worldie, but we need him to be banging. I mean, 2 years ago, that goal that Wang scored, Jimenez would have buried that in the top corner. He seems to be scuffing everything. So
yeah,
if we could get him back to some sort of form, I do am very confident we can beat Everton.
But Paul, I think he's playing well enough. If you look back to what happened for the goal for Wang, like, that was all Jimenez work. And it was Leeds typical. There were four or five of them around him. And when he had the shot, he hit the back of one of the Leeds players that was around him. And it fell for Wang. And Wang happened to be in front and put it away. No, I don't think there's a problem with him. I don't go that Everton are more talented. And I do believe that you set your team up that you have 90 minutes or 94 minutes to win a game. And that's more important than what goes on throughout the game. Yeah. And we have, in the last couple of weeks, where you mightn't look as fancy as you were in the first three games, but it's a hugely impressive amount of points you're at the picking up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And on the road. And defensively, we are quite solid.
Yeah.
The only thing is, Chang and Traore hit the ground running against Everton. We'll win it handy enough.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thinking on that.
Yeah.
But we thought overall it was a fantastic point. It was a great day, but look, it's another point towards the total that we'll have at the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah. Gary, what's your thinking on the Everton game?
Yeah, I'd say it's going to be like a lot of the others, as Mick usually says, it's going to be a battle. What I'd be concerned about now with them is that after coming off the back of a 5-2 defeat at home, they're going to have to pull the finger out and try and turn it around. So, like, that could, you know, be bad news for us. At the same time, they are very inconsistent. Like, they have they got well hammered at Villa, like, didn't they? And, you know, but then suddenly they pull out a good one. So it's really what Everton turns up, and I suppose a bit about what Wolves turns up as well.
Yeah.
But I'd say on balance, I'd say we should take the 3 points on this occasion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hope to. Yeah, Johnny, what's yours?
I hope he starts ignoring on Monday again. I read today that Marcel will be back, but like, I don't think Marcel can cross the ball. I've never actually seen Marcel put, like, I think we're so much more threatening with when Aitnori and Semedo play real high. I think Richarlison will probably score against us, as he does every game we seem to play against. No, I think we should, like, I was seeing on Twitter, they're already calling Rafa out. So, like, they are under a bit of pressure, and if we score early enough, I'd expect us to win. I wouldn't say you'll see Traore start. I think he'll start Trincao.
Yeah.
But I get hope Neves is back, just to get that bit of foothold in the middle of the park, you know.
Yeah.
I never noticed that. Was Trincao available on Saturday?
He was. He was bringing him on before bloody he would have been the man to bring on, because he would have given us the outlet channel.
Yeah.
You know, on the wing. Yeah. And it's just what happened, ladies. And I think if he thinks it's a threat from Everton down that left hand side, he'll go with Marcel. And you know what I mean? I think he's a fantastic player. He gives us so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he definitely, as a defender, he certainly is improving, you know, big time.
Anyway, that's great, lads. So we're all hoping for a nice win against Everton next Monday. We're all, well, I know, Johnny, you're not going. The rest, Mick, Paul, Gary?
Yeah.
I'm not going, Tony.
Oh, no, you're not going, Gary. That's right. Yeah, I got your list. All right. So listen, thanks a million, lads. I'm sure we'll see Paul and Mick. I'm sure we'll see you at some stage next Monday.
Yeah.
Right. Cheers, lads.
Cheers,
we'll
lads.
See you.
All right, lads. See you then.
Good night.
All the best.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website, or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.